This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Friday in Kansas City. Oh, man, it's going to be 70 degrees outside.
We're stuck inside.
Do these windows retract?
I already told you, I would like Odyssey to build us a patio. Then the fan club would go outside on days like this. Like one of those big accordion-style doors.
That would be great.
Out to a deck.
That's
where I'd spend every break. We just open it for the whole show. It'd be great.
Just a nice natural breeze coming in from outside. That would be nice. Enjoy it. It's going to be unbelievable. Going to be unbelievable today. Definitely cannot wait to get out there a little bit later on in the afternoon. Hopefully, if you're someone that had to deal with the brutal negative 10 degree stuff and worked outside, hopefully today you're living the life working outside
a little bit.
Getting some stuff done out there. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, the video stream will be up here in just a bit as well. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube. Be sure to subscribe. Makes it way easier for you to track the show. And when we're live and when we're not live, just subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe on Twitch too if you want. And it just makes it very easy for you to make sure you don't miss anything, whether it's our show or any of the shows here.
Subscribe everywhere.
96.5 The Fan. It is a Fan Club Friday. We're going to have an old friend, Benny Heiss. Heiser join us in the 1 o'clock hour today. It'll be good to catch up with him. See if he's wearing the H&R Block mascot when he comes in here or not.
He said he's done it before.
You should tell him he has to wear that. Text
for at least
him.
Part of it?
Yeah, you got to walk in the door wearing the mascot, whatever
tell
the mascot's
called. Tell him about my mascot plans for this show one day.
Maybe we can borrow that.
See what he thinks about our mascot's going to do some different stuff. So I don't know if H&R Block wants me in that outfit.
Yeah. So Heisel will join us.
Giving more Italian puns for Caglione and Vinny Pasquantino, I'm not sure how they'll feel about that.
Vern's going to join us as well around 12:45 from Surprise, Arizona. But in the 1 o'clock hour yesterday, we pivoted a little bit because at that time it was breaking news that Trey Smith was going to have the franchise tag placed on him. Yeah. And so we'll carry some of that over today and different ways to discuss it now that the initial reaction has settled of a little bit of surprise. The way the Chiefs are going about this offseason, it already looks like, and the way they've gone about their teams over the last couple years, they are doing something that nobody else is doing. Now, it's equated to 3 rings in 5 or 6 years or whatever it is now at this point in time. So nobody can be like, oh my gosh,
it's a terrible plan.
They don't know what they're doing. But it is pretty wild to think that currently, as it sits today, once the franchise tag, if it ever gets signed or if Trey Smith gets the long-term deal, you're talking about $50 million potentially next year alone, if they don't alter the cap hits, on guard. That is not how 90%...
70 if you add a, 36-year-old tight end?
Sure. That's not how 90% of teams, if not 99% of teams, are going about their business in the NFL. It is unique, and I'm trying to figure out why are they doing it differently, and what I keep coming back to is, perhaps when you have a head coach like Andy Reid, who's a future Hall of Famer, who, of course, handpicked Brett Veach, right? It was his guy from Philadelphia after John Dorsey was shown the door. That Andy Reid, let's not forget, as much as we say Brett Veach makes the decisions, this to me tells me that Andy Reid is even more involved than we think in retaining players and all of that, because that's the only reason why I can think Brett Veach would build a roster the way he has over the years, prioritizing linebacker and guard. That's not how most teams do it. And again, it's equated to success. So I'm not saying it's like stupid, but it tells me Andy Reid is heavily involved. And this is another one of those moves where maybe he's the reason why they're retaining Trey Smith.
So stupid. No. Okay. I would not say stupid. That would be ludicrous. They have been to three consecutive Super Bowls, two of which they won. Do I wonder to myself if they would have the same amount of success building it like every other team builds a roster? Yeah, I'm at least a little curious, because what's most interesting about it is the other successful teams in my mind who succeed year in and year out, the Eagles, the 49ers, they build a lot on the defensive line. The Chiefs don't even do that. Their highest paid player, one of their highest paid players, is Chris Jones, who they did give a contract to. But outside of that, you see him paying a bunch of big contracts to defensive ends, to other defensive linemen? Not big contracts, no. They're giving those money to guard, as you mentioned, linebacker. They've never paid a corner good money. They paid Tyreek Hill once, a $54 million deal, and then the next time he was due up, they didn't pay him. Most teams pay corners, wide receivers, skill position guys, right? I mean, you know, I don't have to go through the list. Guys who either guard the pass or catch the ball. That's where most of the team spent their money. They have given free agent deals, big ones, to safeties twice, to linebackers twice, to guards a couple of times. You're like, nobody else does it like this? And I guess what I'm trying to decide is, do they do this because every quarterback's going to cost $1 jillion? And so what happens is that's where the hidden value is, right? Rather than pay a wide receiver $40 million, we can pay two guards $40 million and we view it in there. I'm with you. I don't think any GM in the league would build it that way unless it was a guy who in head coach had a real say in this thing, liked to build it that way. I think part of what happens with Trey Smith is Andy Reid sits in a room and he says, I want an alignment I can trust. And this whole thing doesn't work and it falls apart unless there's a guard that I can trust. I'm hesitant to say that I love this version of team building, but I can also only be so critical based on the fact that the success is there. I can't argue with that.
And you know, if you're Andy Reid and you are heavily involved in this decision and other decisions and the way you're building out the roster, you're looking any coach. This is not unique to Andy. Yeah. The coach wants the guys that can contribute right away and gives them the best chance to win today. And retaining Trey Smith gives them the best short-term chance to do that. Yeah. 2 years from now is where I'm more skeptical. Even though, like, we're talking about the cap situation in the present, 2 years from now, is it problematic just based off of what you didn't address this offseason? Like, does the fallout happen now? Or if there ever is fallout, does it happen 2 years from now? That's something none of us can predict, but that's their job to predict that and what may or may happen and project. And look, the cap is next year, the cap will be over $300 million next year, as in 2026. And then 2027, it'll be $320 million probably. Like, this thing is going to keep going up. They're going to add more games eventually. They're going to keep playing international. Netflix is going to want to buy afternoon windows. Like, the cap in 10 years is going to be over $400 million easily. Like, that's just where we're heading. If we continue to see the percentage go up. So that part works. But I absolutely think this future extension that we think eventually happens for Trey Smith and the franchise tag alone, I would think Andy Reid had a huge, huge role in this.
Like, just look at I'll just be honest. Like, if you look at the Chiefs' 2025 cap hits, other than Mahomes, who logically is going to be the highest paid player on the team, which is like, yeah, okay. Okay, so the next highest paid player is Chris Jones. Makes sense, right? Elite level pass rusher from the interior. We're good. Juwan Taylor, right tackle. I don't have a problem. People invest in tackle all the time. That's fine.
9.8% of the cap is Juwan Taylor.
But, you know, like, okay, he's overpaid for who he is, Gold. But investing in tackle, again, not weird. It's right after you get the top three that you're like, huh? Because then it's a guard, a 36-year-old Travis Kelce, a center, Drew Tranquil, a linebacker, Mike Dana, a rotational defensive lineman, and Harrison Butker. Harrison Butker is one of the 10 highest paid people on this team as it currently sits going into 2025. And look, some of that's because they're young, right? Because then pretty much everybody after that is on either a rookie deal or a contract that they signed an extension that's not going to cost them that much to be a cap hit, right? Noah Gray, Trent McDuffie, Chanel, everyone else is a rookie. So the fact that Butker's 10th is really just saying he's the one 10 guys who's not on his rookie contract, not a rookie, on their rookie deal. But, like, that means everybody they've signed an extension to in this top 10 are guard, center, old tight end, and I want Kelce back. So, like, take it for what it is. I'm just talking from a team building perspective.
It's unique.
This is uncommon.
Yeah, it's unique. Someone on the text line says, don't forget that, you know, they paid Tooney big money, which comes off the books before Trey will get his big money. Well, that's what we discussed yesterday in the 1 o'clock hour, that this decision to retain Trey Smith, whether it's just on the tag or a long-term deal, means that, to me, you can't be giving an extension to Joe Tooney. You need to just stick with the cap hit this year and be done with it at the end of this year.
That's my feeling.
And then in 2026, your left guard, maybe it's Kingsley, maybe it's somebody else.
Yeah, and I think ideally it's Kingsley, and you get 2 years of him at guard to find out whether or not he's another guy worth being, because it's always the same thing. Let's just say Kingsley was a really good left guard. You're like, well, now what are you going to do, pay both? No. He'd have 2 more years of his rookie deal. Trey Smith's deal is going to be 4 years, right? Probably, most likely, on the market. By the time Trey Smith's deal ran out, you would be in year one of Kingsley's deal, and you just run this cycle of going thing to thing. The only difference is, like, I assume Creed will actually get a third contract with this team because they obviously value him. He rates out as one of the best offensive linemen in the league, so I'm already kind of penciling him in for a third. But it's meant to be cyclical, and they're good about that. I'll say this. The Chiefs are good about that. The text line pointed out, which I think is also fair, which is they did try to pay Tyreek. Yeah, but they didn't. Like, I know, and I point out the Tyreek thing when I just think that they do it, but, like, the free agent dollars they've actually spent have not been at wide receiver. Over the last 3 years, what have they, honest to God, spent at wide receiver? They've started to spend some draft pick compensation, so they've started to value it to the point that it's worthy of them spending a second round pick.
I see what you did there. Yeah, thank you, Cody. Yeah.
Spending a second round pick, spending a first round pick, those kinds of things on that position. They haven't paid anybody yet. They paid Tyreek Hill once. His number, they came to the table. They did try to pay him. But when the number went up, they're like, we're fine. And I do think they'll pay Trent McDuffie. So part of this conversation, and I do think they'll probably pay George Karlaftis. Probably. Which, you know,
we'll get to someone that maybe they're not going to pay now, though, after this, a little bit later on this hour, and that's Nick Bolton. We can get into that a little bit. We'll keep talking about Trey Smith's fallout of the tag. We think a long-term deal eventually on the horizon as well. 20 minutes or so, what does it mean for left tackle? Because I think this also tells us something about how they feel the offseason can go at left tackle, and maybe also why they were willing to do this decision yesterday with Trey Smith before the league year opens up next month. Now, away from on the field, we go off the field for a bit because yet again, it's another day and some more news on the stadium front. The big update from yesterday was that there's a bill now that was introduced, hasn't been voted on yet, hasn't passed yet, but a bill was introduced in Missouri's, I guess it would be the Senate yesterday. There was a reading of a bill that would establish what they're calling a capital assistance program for stadiums. It was backed by Senator Barbara Washington, who represents District 9, which is in Jackson County. She sponsored the bill that would require at least 33% of the cost to be privately funded, and local government must cover 10% of the cost or provide other support. But this basically would allow them to offer teams, Royals, Chiefs. Now, it could be for any team, as Mayor Quinn Lucas was quoted yesterday saying, hey, this could be used in the future to attract a WNBA or NBA.
Sure. But NHL, but Travis and Jason, we're talking about an NHL team.
But we know ultimately this is all about the Chiefs and Royals' future and why they're now considering, Missouri lawmakers are considering a bill that would offer team incentives to build in the state. It's a step forward. Is it too late? I guess it's not too late until the deal is signed in Kansas or something. If this was introduced, like, I know the legislative session
six months ago just
started in January. Yeah. And so there's only a handful of states that have year round legislative sessions. So ultimately they couldn't have done this in October, in fairness, but you would have, you know, why did it take to almost March to even introduce the
bill? Because they're worried about losing.
Right. I think this is a last ditch effort. Now it puts them in a much stronger spot if it actually passes. The bill, the Star Bonds, I'm sorry, in Kansas, what, 70% of the project is what that would supposedly pay for, this using the Star Bonds on the Kansas side. This gets Missouri close. Now, the mayor, you take him at his word, if you will, on this. He says that they believe that this is actually a better offer than the Kansas deal.
Tom Brady's agent to tell me what happened for real. But
he
okay.
says it allows him to unlock around $1.4 billion. And while it doesn't take away from other tax funded programs, that's what they are saying about this bill that would need to still pass in Missouri. This makes a ton of sense. Again, I just wonder on the timing. The only thing I would say with this is a statewide program. This is not a city program. So this bill would allow other cities to do this. So if I'm in St. Louis and I'm the Cardinals, I'm saying, you know what? We love this idea too. How do we get this same type of deal? That's where I still wonder how it comes together. And is it good enough to keep one of the teams? Maybe. Both, I'm still very skeptical. I think this exact plan could be how they keep the Chiefs or how they keep the Royals, as in one of them. I don't know if this plan keeps both of them.
You and I both knew that they were going to have to unlock some funding mechanisms that did not include a public vote. And so I'll say they seem to have done that if they can get it passed. Can I be honest here? Based on this show's discussion of it, my current confidence level in the Missouri legislature, all-time low. Seriously? Like, I don't know how many times we've gone over this. They haven't got anything done forever. I can't tell you the last time we came on this show and we're like, they did it this time. They finally put it together, Gold. They couldn't get sports wagering passed. They eventually just had to take it to a vote. They just had to put it to the people because, you know, our guy Denny was getting in the way for a little while, right? But yeah. So I'm not uber confident in just the legislative part. This does, however, make a lot of sense, except for the same normal reasons, which is there are going to be people who fight against this because they're like, okay, so I still have to pay the taxes, but now I don't get a say in paying them. I told you I didn't want to pay them. And like, I understand. I would also just say that that's just generally how the legislative process sometimes works. Sometimes, Gold, they fund bills that cost you money that you don't. It's the same thing. You technically elected them to make these decisions. They're now making these decisions because they find the value in keeping the sports team. Unfortunately, if you didn't want to pay it, that's the way it works. I'm relatively confident that this is at least a good idea. Do I think it's going to happen for sure? I'd say I'm on the fence.
So I think the bill will ultimately pass, if that's what you're skeptical about. I think ultimately the bill in Missouri will pass. Does it lead to keeping both teams? That's where I don't believe it. But what could this lead to how they fund one of the teams? How, for example, the Royals stay in Missouri or the Chiefs stay in Missouri? Yeah, I think this is a mechanism that could work for that. I just don't believe that it's going to result in both teams staying in Missouri. But this is the type of bill that if you're the Chiefs or the Royals, but I would say specifically the Chiefs, that you're saying, okay, this is
you're trying.
Finally maybe something that could work for us to be able to get this done that puts us at least somewhat competitively with what we know we can get already on the Kansas side.
I guess for this, it always goes back to the same thing. I keep waiting to hear who's going to make the like first move on this thing because I kind of think like April 1st. I mean, don't you think that there's like a limit goal before?
No, don't do it on April Fool's Day.
We got to, I know, but like,
don't do it then.
Just generally, you know what I mean. 1st of April-ish time, 2nd of April, if it makes you feel better, that eventually one of these teams is going to have to like tip their hand. Like at this point, it's just like both are talking to both and they're just kind of leaving it out there. And now this funding where Mayor Lucas is obviously involved, which means he's okay with it from a city perspective. And like you said, generally speaking, if the governor's saying, get this thing done, for the most part, that would tend to lean towards it going. They've had so many. I refuse to just be like, it'll probably pass just based on Missouri legislature's recent history.
Again, I think there's a big difference, though, between like the bill passing and then actually getting the teams to
take the money.
I think the bill will pass. It's just, does that lead to actually keeping the both teams or a team? That is still very much in the air. Look, I'll tell you, I know that's not everything and how people view, in this case, a mayor, but. If you're Mayor Quinn Lucas, every motive, you not want to be the mayor that loses or both the Chiefs and Royals. You don't want that. You don't want that to be how people remember you, because that would be a devastating blow.
And now you have a chance to be the mayor who kept one or kept, you know,
well, say, kept both would be
like
a huge,
kept both would be a huge win. But even if you kept one, you would at least get partial credit.
I don't know, man.
Losing the Chiefs.
I don't think so. Not when people say, hey, for 50 years we've had both. I don't think so. You lose one and people are going to say, okay, what the hell happened?
Losing both is when you're just
losing
like,
both
suck.
Is just it's over.
Yeah, that's where I kind of run into the issue. Look, I hope, I understand, it goes back to the same thing. They obviously thought that there would be a greater public thirst for the funding to keep them in Jackson County. They found out that wasn't the case. You and I had said from really the end of that vote that the next step would have needed to involve not asking people to vote for it. This offers you more of a chance. I will say, I still feel like there's got to be some hidden, like, city funding that's got to be coming a part of this, like infrastructure or some other stuff that like Lucas is going to roll into the regular part of a budgetary system? Because I don't think, based on the numbers they put out there, that this is as much as Kansas is offering, even if Lucas says it is. And I still don't feel like it's as much as they were originally asking. But that kind of goes back to the same thing. Maybe they don't need as much money as they were originally asking, Gold, because they've already caved, I think, in some of what was the original grandiose, we're going to build, I want to own it all, we're going to have this whole entertainment, we're going to have it all together. It already feels like they've taken that back scale by, what, 50%? 40%? I mean, it feels like they've scaled that back, right? So maybe it just needs less funding in general.
I mean, the only thing is the cost is only going up every single day this takes to start. Like, the cost of...
Yeah, right, construction materials,
everything. You know, it's only, everything's only going up day by day. The longer it takes to get shovels in the ground, the construction costs, everything's just going up.
Yeah, the value of it. Yes, that's how it works, sadly. That's how it works.
If they would have started this project two and a half years ago, the exact same, let's say the exact same specs and everything would have been way cheaper than what it's going to be tomorrow.
But this is also where they probably want to try to get, you know, get moving a little bit, and maybe this will allow to do it. Do we know when they're, so they're going to introduce it, or it was introduced?
It was introduced,
Do we know when they're going to, like, take this stuff to committee, vote on it, do that kind of stuff? Do I have to follow legislative hearings? That sounds awful. I don't want to do that.
It depends how bad. I mean, can they get it done very quickly if they, yes.
Can they just like do it tomorrow if they wanted? How's it work?
So this goes back to elementary school, and there's a process of how a bill is passed, you know?
I've seen that video. I am familiar.
It was introduced in the Senate. Eventually, it will still have to go over the House or the committee between the two, yeah.
I have seen that video.
Mm-hmm. I'm just a bill on Capitol Hill or whatever it is.
They all made us watch.
Now that's the federal government, but still.
Did Drew have to watch School of Rock, or is he too young?
No, I've watched School of Rock, yeah.
You did? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You did?
I watched it multiple times because, you know, every year they had to remind you.
I'm just checking. Someone asked you about White Men Can't Jump today, and you mentioned Ray Allen.
You thought Ray Allen was the main character in White Men Can't Jump.
Do you guys? He's in one of those movies.
Not white. You know?
No, I didn't say that Ray Allen was white. I know that he's not white. Okay.
Okay. No, it's fine. You were thinking he got game, presumably?
Yes, where he's got the two girls on the side. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
White Man Can't Jump is the one with Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes. They recently remade it, which I thought would actually help you a little bit. They recently remade it with...
Jack Harlow.
Jack Harlow, that's what it was. I never saw it. Did anybody see the remake?
It's a good choice.
I did not. I honestly really don't want to. I'm good with the original.
The first one is a nearly perfect movie. I almost don't want to.
The only remake in recent history that has been maybe better than the original is the new Top Gun that came out, 2 years ago, whatever. The remake was incredible. I still think the original is maybe the winner, but like that's the only time where you said a remake was even close to an original. Normally, was the Top Gun Maverick, I guess, or whatever it was called. And I guess they're making a third one, which if they
do that, the third one,
though, I'm a little nervous that one's going to be awful.
There's got to be a storyline that follows. Like, if you just have a movie and it just ends and there's no teaser for another one, there's no potential look ahead, then it's hard to follow those up.
That's all. And you didn't, like, I think if it needs special effects, you can improve, like, movies down the road, right, in a lot of ways, because, like, you could make that seem more realistic.
Yeah, it's time for an Armageddon remake, Cody. It's time for an Armageddon remake.
It also depends on how long.
Like, in a better view of that asteroid.
That's right.
How long are the remakes also after the fact? Like, yesterday, Shrek 5. I saw a trailer for Shrek.
That's still going.
Shrek 5 comes out in 2026.
The original was an all-timer.
In fairness, they do have all of the voice line. It was a
Eddie Murphy's still involved in everything?
Mike Myers is there, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, and then Zendaya is...
Oh, a new
is
character.
Shrek's kid, essentially. Oh. Shrek and Fiona's kid.
I've lost track of the storyline after the first one, though.
Yeah, I saw the first two.
After the first two, it kind of went downhill, I believe.
A lot of people were complaining because they said Shrek doesn't look like Shrek.
What do you mean Shrek doesn't look like
Shrek? They said it doesn't look like...
I guess they posted
a teaser photo, and they said that his face looks wrong.
Someone says it's Top Gun wasn't a remake, it's a sequel, whatever. Okay, but like the point being... Shrek 6 is not a remake either. That's a sequel,
I guess. They said his face looks wrong. They said his eyes are too close or too big or something. I don't know. They redesigned him and he doesn't look like regular Shrek. I'm just telling you what the people on the internet are mad about today. And the answer is Shrek 5 and the redesign of his face. They don't like it.
Similar to how they don't like the Fantastic Four redesign.
My kids have never seen a Shrek movie. Am I depriving them?
Have them go back and watch the original one.
I think the second one's always been the best one. I haven't seen the Shrek movie in a very long time. It's been a while.
So Schoolhouse Rock, not School of Rock.
I tried to correct it, but then we were moving on, so I was like, whatever.
Hang on. You guys mentioned that.
Jack Black was teaching us how legislative action works.
Did you guys watch Osmosis Jones?
What's that again?
Did you guys watch Osmosis Jones?
Yes. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't like watch it a bunch, but
I'm also old enough for Osmosis Jones.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. That was probably like early 2000s.
I feel like I get not that my generation it gets a lot of disrespect, but people my age do, because people don't think that we weren't involved with VHS.
You're a different generation though. Cody and I are millennials. You're Gen Z, right?
I believe I am the first year of Gen Z.
Gen Z.
I consider myself a hybrid though, because I had VHS tapes. I grew up on the projector screens that they wheeled in on the damn cart.
Yeah.
But we're not the same, because like I watched the OJ verdict on that cart. And
no, we are not the same for that reason.
I was too young for that one, even Cody.
That was such a big deal. I'm not kidding. We were in like third grade or whatever it was. It was such a big deal. They wheeled in the cart to show us the OJ verdict in elementary school, which is a wild thing to show.
Yeah, but you're
a group of elementary school kids.
Yeah, so you're 6 years older or whatever, right? So I was definitely not in school when that was going on.
No.
I was too little for the OJ chase.
Someone called me a zoomer. There
Live.
We go.
I think after we get back from break, I'm going to have to update you guys. There's an update on the Desmond dating
situation. Let's get to that. Good? Bad?
Mixed.
Oh, okay.
As he put it, great news, terrible news.
Again?
A little of both. Yeah, a little of both.
Oh.
All right, we'll get that update together, and we'll talk more about what the Trey Smith franchise tag means for the left tackle situation with the Chiefs. That's right. Schoolhouse Rock. Talking so much about Bill's legislative action.
I forgot
a
about
reminder.
Got to eventually just play that, you know?
I forgot about the conjunction junction. What's your function?
That's
conjunction.
That was a classic one.
That was great.
Your function. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you for that, Drew.
That's not our normal bumper music.
No,
I like it.
Definitely not. Definitely not our normal bumper music. Schoolhouse Rock. Before we get to the left tackle situation, and maybe does it change with the Trey Smith extension or a franchise tag, you said there's an update. Your son, for those that have been following, this has been going on for like 2 weeks, I feel like.
Yeah, maybe a month. I don't know. It seems like, so as people who haven't been following, my son is in kindergarten. He is head over heels for this one girl. And he claimed for a while they were boyfriend and girlfriend. He then told us a couple days ago they broke up, to which she made the breaking heart hands at him because, and this is going to be important in the story later, because he chose a different friend to drum first in like a shared thing where like you choose the next person to drum. And he chose a friend, not her. She then called it off. And then he had school yesterday. And we're like, well, like hopefully they just like, you know. He said the good news is they were going to remain friends. That's what he told us a couple days ago. Yesterday, as he's getting off the bus, we receive a call from the school.
Uh-oh.
First. And I'm like, well, what could this be about?
Oh, man.
The call is from Desmond's teacher.
Oh, no.
Because he had to be told about appropriate kindergarten behavior because the girl in question kissed Desmond on the cheek.
Hey.
And we don't kiss in kindergarten for obvious reasons. And so he had to be told about appropriate school behavior because she gave him a kiss on the cheek. His response to this, by the way, is like, I know I can't do it anymore because he knows now he doesn't want to be in trouble.
Right.
Teacher told me can't do that kind of thing. He said, but the kiss makes sense because she loves me. So
let's
I was like,
go.
But you're kind of having it. You're kind of in the middle. And I'll have to say, the interesting twist in all of this is that the reason why the teacher found out is the kid who Desmond chose for the drum snitched.
Oh, what?
Well, we have snitch line coming up today. 1 o'clock hour.
The kid he chose for the drum snitched and told the teacher that this girl kissed Desmond on the cheek, ratting out the whole operation.
Wow, so he's
and
learning
so
a lot of, like, in the last 48 hours.
He learned about breakups. He learned about, like, who you can trust in your friend group. Mm. It's been a tough learning lesson for Desmond in kindergarten this week. He's really going through some of, like, the life learning lessons that we're all going through. Also, I can't believe he chose you for drum and you do him like that?
Yeah, it's just, these are six-year-olds, you know?
That's cold, though,
they're
man.
They're six-year-olds.
That's cold.
Did you give him the, hey, man, it's hard out here in these streets, you know? It's tough out here.
I can't believe, dude. Because you know, now you gotta sit your kid down and be like, "Hey, can't kiss people at school, man." I don't, you know,
at least he's not the one that did it, though.
I know.
Right?
Is that better?
Yes.
If he was the person who got the kiss
I think
on the
it should make you feel a little bit better. That like because they're
if you're the initiator, then I got to figure out like
their
why
parents.
Are you
yeah. Whereas like their parents, you know.
You know, Desmond, as it happened, was smiling ear to ear. Like he was probably blushing and everything.
That first, the first time I meet this kid's parents is going to be so awkward.
Yeah.
I'm going to run into them at some school function and be like, oh, you're Sophia's parents. And we all know. Now, look, I'm assuming that like they don't
know.
There's
still 6 year olds, so their parents aren't going to. I don't think it'll be that awkward. They're 6 year olds.
They're kids. They don't know what's going on. They're six. You're right. That's fair. Yeah. Oh, man. Someone said his friend is dead to us on the text line. Ratted him out, man. The kid he chose. Tough, the kid he chose for the drums.
For your sake, was his snitch, man. For that's your sake, tough. I hope this doesn't. Hopefully today is a smooth day for everybody involved.
I hope he just has a nice, clean day. It's that, you know, like you got to see your friend. Wasn't that nice? And then we just move on to like regular pastures. This thing has continued now for the better part of 2 weeks. It has not faded as quickly as I thought this would fade a lot quicker. This like these two being like they had to move. They moved them tables, man. They couldn't sit at the same table anymore.
That's probably for the best.
They changed their tables, man. He can't even be like yellow table. You know, they're moving kids out of this thing. I don't even know what to do for him anymore. I just hope he has a regular day at school. No drama with them.
Just, you know, even though they're only in kindergarten, just put on some Schoolhouse Rock and just let them have a normal day. Let them start learning, you know, and just move on from everything. All right, let's move on ourselves a little bit and talk some Chiefs football again, because Trey Smith expected to have the franchise tag placed on him. And I say expected because technically he hasn't officially had the tag placed on him, but that's just the expectation now with the news in the 1 o'clock hour yesterday. So what does this mean, if anything, for left tackle? Because I took the decision to have $23.7 million on the books now and potentially a 5-year deal worth over $100 million on the books here very soon, that the Chiefs maybe are admitting something to us already about how they feel the rest of the offseason is going to go. And I don't know if fans will love it, but it might just be the reality of what's out there, which is they know Trey Smith is going to give him a certain level of play. They know what level of play at left guard Joe Tooney's giving them, and they know what level of play Creed Humphrey's giving them. And while in the Super Bowl it didn't matter, they know that that's an area they can still have as a strength 99% of the season.
Yeah.
Which is what they did have. And we're going to shore that up and make sure we have that, because you know what? We know that maybe free agency, not great for left tackle options. We don't like any of them. The draft, not a big fan of any of them either. And that this is a problem that perhaps may not be solvable in this one off season. To the point where I'm wondering more and more now, man, if they aren't going to just have DJ Humphries as this team's left tackle in 2025.
I want to disagree just for the sake of conversation, but no, I think they told on themselves a little bit here. Which is, if we don't bring in Trey Smith, not only do we have a left tackle problem, which we're either throwing bad money at, right? So we try to solve it, but we're throwing bad money at it because we don't like the available options, and we're signing someone to a long-term deal that shouldn't get a long-term deal at left tackle. Or we're drafting a guy that we don't believe is a long-term answer at left tackle. And by doing this, at least the line's not getting worse. It's exactly the same. Random dude at left tackle, Jawan Taylor at right tackle, and what most people deem to be one of the better interior offensive lines in the league. They're telling on themselves. So I no longer expect the Chiefs to solve left tackle this offseason. We've been begging year after year after year. Now, I will give them at least a little bit of credit. Acceptance there is an okay thing. I think what happens occasionally with the Chiefs, and not all the time, I think a lot of teams do this, I think they're guilty of it. I think Brett Veach, when he makes mistakes, it's when he does think he can be like, you know what, I'll take Kingsley, problem solved. Or I'll take McColl. Like, they'll use a slightly higher pick or they'll trade for Orlando Brown Jr. They'll take these big swings, which are riskier moves, to try to solve these problems because they think they can get the long-term
answer. I would take the exact same Orlando Brown Jr. trade this offseason. Like, if there was that same type of player available.
For only 2 years? If you get 2 years?
I would do that.
For sure, 2 years.
Yeah, I would do that again. If you told me that the exact same scenario existed for the same type of player, I would do that. I don't believe that exists, and that's why I think they are going to end up just kind of going with, maybe it's not really an in-house option because he's technically a free agent, but with DJ Humphries when the dust settles, unless they still come up with a surprise multiple pick trade up kind of thing in the draft. I just think it's becoming more and more evident. I'll be honest. Like, I don't want them to sign Ronnie Stanley. I don't. I know there's some people out there listening that do. Guy finally had a full season. He's 31, 32 years old.
If I'm doing that,
he's
going to
require a multi-year deal. Like, yeah, I'll just roll the dice on 1 year for him. 1 year, what is it going to cost 1 year on DJ Humphries? $10
million? Yeah, probably.
I just don't have a number. May not even be incentives, maybe 10.
Maybe might 15 be because, you know, the mark, the cap.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I just more and more I feel like that's, barring a shocking trade up, as in like half the draft field trade up, I think it's going to be nerve-wracking for a lot of people, but going into camp when we're in St. Joe here in August, I don't think I should be, nor should you be surprised if DJ Humphries is maybe the clubhouse leader for that job.
I'll ask one of the other insiders at some point, like Nate Taylor or whatever, and this is really only a question that DJ Humphries can answer. Any part of him that doesn't want to sign here because they never let him be the left tackle? He got to be the left tackle for one game.
He wasn't healthy.
He was healthy towards the end of the season, reportedly, right? Like he... could have technically played.
But you know how this
goes. In the AFC title game of the Super Bowl, and they didn't let him, you know?
Right. I'm just asking. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, but you know how this goes. If you were given an opportunity, then you get hurt. And that's just life, right? Like, that's how sports work. You were given a chance, and then you got hurt, and then somebody else steps in. In that case, up until the Super Bowl, Joe Tooney steps in, and Joe Tooney looked really good until he didn't look good. You know, like that's what happened. And I go back to the comments. We don't need to play it again. But remember the day that DJ Humphries signed, how happy he was to his kid wanting to play with Mahomes and this whole thing. So no, I didn't know
if that had soured at all.
You're right.
Just based on the fact that he didn't get to play much.
I don't know 100% either. You're right. He only knows that. I would be surprised if he's now like bitter about the situation.
Versus just like, well, now I'm going to be fully healthy and they're going to let me be the left tackle again. Because I think in order to get DJ Humphries here, you do have to tell him it's your job to lose. If we're bringing in competition for you, it's like in the third round, DJ. So don't really stress about it. You can beat out a third round pick, can't you? I mean, you're DJ Humphries, you know, but like, not that we're getting ready to trade up and take one at 17, but we'd also like you as a safety net on a 1 year deal. You know, I think if you're taking, and I honestly, like going back to it, I just think they told themselves, I think the Chiefs are telling you that there are no left tackles where they're drafting in the draft worthy of starting day one. And there are no left tackles on the free agency market that they want to give big dollars to. And they'd rather kick this can down the road one more year again, sadly, until they eventually find their long-term answer.
I get it. If they look at the draft in particular, free agency also, but the draft in particular, if they're like, we don't think there's someone there that is any better than what we have currently in-house anyway. So why would we reach for somebody at 31 or waste a pick in the second round again for another developmental project when we think maybe next year either the free agent class is better, better draft class, or, hey, DJ Humphries is not a spring chicken, but maybe he plays really good for us. And then all of a sudden we think we got another year or so for him. I think that's where it's trending. But I also, in the back of my mind, recognize that Brett Veach has surprised a lot of us before with a big splash that nobody saw coming. And maybe that's what they got up their sleeve to. But right now my mind is kind of thinking, all right, Trey Smith, they're going to sure up what they know they got and hope that the option that is DJ Humphries maybe is financially smart and the level of play for that cost is not much different than what you'd even be overpaying for a Ronnie Stanley type.
I mean, the odds of DJ Humphries hitting next year versus this year are significantly better. Like, for the same reason we liked the move in season, but he was coming off an injury. If he stays healthy, he has played Pro Bowl level left tackle. Like, he's not... Now, he's older. He's not your long-term plan.
But he's not 35. But there's
31. A reason why he was a 7 or 8 year starter in Arizona, okay? Like, he was a full-time left tackle starter for every year except, like, the first year, I think, in Arizona. His whole thing has been health. And it's like, if you just give him a whole offseason, you give him a one-year deal, like, there's kind of optimism to think that he could probably be a pretty decent left tackle for you. It's about convincing him to stay here versus testing the free agency market.
We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 5 minutes or so, but we were mentioning the draft there a little bit. Adam Schefter was speaking in Indianapolis yesterday, as today's yesterday, things heating up in terms of some of the bigger names that are out there from the combine, although more and more players are just deciding to only do pro day stuff. Like, hey, I'm not going to throw. I'm not going to do this drill. The combine, they should just call it like the NFL convention and let the agents and GMs talk.
It's just a chance to meet.
And just let the draft prospects do their pro day thing. That's a whole other topic. But anyway, Adam Schefter was asked about the draft and just how deep is it overall in 2025.
What are they saying about this draft class? What is the conversation about this draft?
A few
class?
Things. I think that the strength of this draft, according to the people who have really dug
insiders,
into
insiders, yes, all the people you've talked to, yeah.
Personnel people, middle rounds, 3, 4, 5. A lot of good depth and talent there. And I think the feeling is that the player you get at number 10 in this draft is similar to the player that you get at 35.
Jeez. Wow.
So there's a group in there where there's not a huge separation.
That was on the Pat McAfee show.
Was he saying that clip just to make Chiefs fans happy? Because if you look at what the Chiefs have in draft capital, they got 2 in the third, fourth. They don't have the fifth because of the trade with DeAndre Hopkins, but like they got picks in that order. And if you traded down from that Tennessee spot, well, then you would have pretty much everything you'd want in that round. Third, fourth, fifth, they got 2 in the third, 1 in the fourth. And the ability to trade down in those spots because of how much value they have in the third. Plus, you're telling me there's no difference between drafting at 10 and drafting at 34? Okay, well, I like to hear that. As a team picking at 31, I think you got to like to hear that and that there's no separation in talent outside of that, especially because you know two of the guys who go in the top 10 are going to be quarterbacks anyway. Those aren't even picks right. That go off the board against you.
Is that one of those things where you take the best available player, even to a certain degree where, you know, you're not going to take running back, but if there is a player that is available who, I mean, maybe it's a linebacker who slid from maybe the 20s down and you don't pay Nick Bolton, do you draft him there because he's the best available player that you've talked to on your board, or do you try to actually hit a need given what Schefter just said with the depth on the defensive line?
I'm fine with best player available at 31, if that's what you're asking. Like, yeah, I'm okay with that. Of course, as you highlighted, there's always exceptions. Of course,
I'm not okay with that with a couple of positions, honestly.
I don't want them to take a tight end, you know, which I don't think best player. Right. Let's put it this way. I don't think best player available will be tight end or quarterback anyway, or you know what I mean?
Wide receiver? If Burton's there. Yes.
Well, yeah, even take Burton's name out of it because of the local tie. If they have somebody on their board that they thought was going at 23 and somehow he's there at 31, and if that's the best player available on their board, then I think they would take that player, yeah.
I'm a mixed bag on best player available because I generally kind of understand the working theory, but I also don't think you can go into a year with these big roster holes. I'm only for best player available when it comes to defensive line, wide receiver, like at this point for the Chiefs, because quarterback would be a normal answer, or corner. If it's not those, I don't care if you're the best player. Like, we had you at 21 and you were the linebacker. Pass. Just have to hope you're available later. And I'm taking the second best player available who plays defensive line or plays corner or plays wide receiver. Best player available on the board only applies to me for three positions. Honestly, it doesn't apply to running back, linebacker, safety.
The guys that you think are more replaceable in the second or third round,
they'd have to be so much higher. Yeah. Best player available can't be, he's 21 on my board and 22 is available, and he's a defensive lineman. Or he's 25 available, and he's a defensive lineman. You got to just take defensive line at that. Screw best player available. I don't care if you had like a linebacker at the 21st best player on your board and a defensive lineman at 25, and they're both there at 31. Take the defensive lineman.
But it depends. It depends. Have they already brought Charles Menehue back? Yeah, have they let Nick Bolton walk?
There's a lot of unknowns, sure.
Yeah, like
a lot of moving parts.
If Charles Menehue's back, then I think I'm good with them not doing that. If he's not back and Nick Bolton's already back, well, then, of course, yeah, like there's no reason to take a linebacker. We'll mention Nick Bolton because we'll get to him a little bit later on in the show. Did Trey Smith's franchise tag and maybe future deal? We're going to get to random questions.
Yeah, that's true.
But we can get to Nick Bolton at some point today.
It just kind of varies depending on how you look at the draft. But, I mean, Schefter essentially just told you everything you wanted to hear. The depth is in third and fourth and fifth. You've got 2 in the third, 1 in the fourth, and then you can trade down. I mean, plus the stuff in the first round, I got to feel pretty good about the Chiefs' chances to get something decent in the draft.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Sorry, we had to move it up again. Snitch line again later in the show.
Yes.
We were going to do snitch line earlier, obviously, or yesterday, but then the Trey Smith news broke that they were looking to franchise tag him. So second straight day of an early random question of the day. Sorry to throw off everyone's schedule. Please like, subscribe over on YouTube. You can see us on video, the whole deal outside of it. Question I have for you today is related to the weather. It's 70 degrees. We've obviously had some nice weather, but always the question is like, I think I'm convinced everyone has a out of winter habit is like the first thing they do once the weather turns to outside weather. So the question I have for you today is, what is the first thing you put on the books? Is it golf? Is it whatever? The second the weather turns to 70.
So I did it yesterday. So a friend of mine texted me at like 2:30. He's like, "Hey, patio beers." So we went to a bar. Usually I would not be drinking on a Thursday at 3:30 in the afternoon.
But it was 70 degrees. It was great. Patio
was out there for a couple hours. It was gorgeous yesterday. Yeah, had a couple.
So
beers,
that's the initial thing for you. Yeah. Is yours golf, Drew? It might be.
Yeah, I hit balls on the range. The first day on Monday when it was very nice outside.
It's like the first time I do the long walk with the dog again. Not the let you outside. Mm-hmm. It's like it's 70. Let's go for a nice lengthy walk. Yeah. It's that or a bike. I'll get on a bike during that time. Cause I own a bike that I ride around. But I'm not riding around in December. I'm not gearing up for that nonsense. I wait till it's nice outside.
Text line, someone says naked yoga. They just go all out there.
Oh, wow.
Naked yoga session.
I'll be a tall fence, man. I'm 9'3". Let's see. What else we got here?
Going on a nice drive with the windows open.
Big fan of the windows down, as you know. Yeah. I'm actually kind of embarrassed for some of you. How few of you ride with your windows
down?
But
you do it all the time, though.
It's 70?
You'll be on the highway. I can't do that on the highway. It's way too loud. It's a mess.
But on a road tonight.
Yeah.
Like when you get on a non-highway road, windows down?
But like right now, the sunroof of my car is cracked already on the parking lot. Like I had it cracked this morning. This afternoon when I get in the car, I'll open it all the way up.
Yeah,
the sun beating down on your face or whatever in the car feels good.
From the 816, Nurse Jen says they open the windows, screen doors, then glass of wine. Mm. I haven't done a movie out on the screen porch. That's pretty common for me. Once the weather gets up.
Better do it tonight because tomorrow's going to be 40. So
I'm playing poker 45. Tonight. And I'll just save that. I like that one in summer better because I like it when it's still warm even when the sun goes down. Tonight, if I try to do a movie on the screen porch, I got to get under several blankets, maybe it chills down a little bit. I need that at nighttime. That one's later in the year.
So they're going to start uncovering their boat, getting it ready, start cleaning that thing up.
Oh, it's time to scrape it down, clean the surface. Somebody says they go straight to a skate park.
Nice.
There's lots of good choice. Everybody, I'm convinced everyone's got the ritual. The one thing you know is on the dock is it's going to be 70 day. I'm doing blank. Everyone just decides, finally.
How many people do you think took off of work today? Just because they're it's Friday, and they're you know what? The weather's been crappy.
I got a little extra PTO.
I want to go to the golf course or whatever it may be. I bet you there's somebody out there that's taking a half day at least.
Courses are probably slammed.
Right now, you think? Even?
Oh, I don't know if they're slammed, but I bet they're way busier than what they typically are on a Friday at 10:50.
Tomorrow, people aren't going. It's going to be a high of 45.
Over on Twitch, someone said they do the spring clean, open up all the windows, start cleaning the house. Golf and tennis, obviously, getting mentions. Someone says time to just rehang up the patio TV. I took for the dead of winter, I took the patio TV off the deck. So today, I'll just put it back out there. Tell the kids to go play, whatever, right? You just got to reset it up. Sometimes during the summer, we'll play poker out on the screen board.
Someone says driving Mustang top down, top off.
I don't have the Mustang anymore. Would have been nice to have it two more days, I guess.
Top off?
That's not usually my bag, but we'll see.
I'm surprised you didn't say go and sweep the decks, go out and...
I hate yard work. The first nice day, that's not yard work. That's a couple of nice days in for me.
Okay.
I hate yard work. I'm waiting till we get a little bit further into the, but I don't have a choice.
Someone said last year they turned their son's clubhouse into an outdoor bar. First thing I'm doing is opening up the bar. Come on over, drink on me. So you had an old clubhouse and you're like, you know what? Kid's gone. Kid's old now. We're turning this thing into a nice outdoor bar.
My brother asked me with my Costco membership to order him an outdoor bar for his house.
Oh.
Because it was free shipping if he had the membership. So
fair enough.
I guess I'll go to his place this summer too.
Hanging the patio TVs up.
I like that people just have the outdoor. Some people do what Drew said. They do the outside cleaning. Oh, let's get the fire pit ready to go. Let's get this stuff kind of.
Somebody said they sweep out the garage as well.
I do open the windows. The second it gets this nice, heat, whatever.
On Monday, I drove the windows down. All the way home. All the way up 4:30 or all the way up 6:35.
I drove with the top down the last day I had the Mustang the other day when it was 65.
Yeah.
I'll do it until I get to the highway. The sunroof will be open, windows will be down, but once I get on the highway, I'm moving. It gets way too loud.
Of course, you saw more people out on the motorcycles as well.
Oh, that's healthy.
Music cranked up even higher on those. Is that what you do too, Drew? Crank the music up on the highway. Yeah.
Well, in a way, you have to have it louder because of the wind and stuff.
Do you think we're going to be screwed on that anyway? All three of us, we wear headphones for 20 hours a week. Now, it's not blasting. It's not like I'm blaring, death metal or something, but
it's loud enough that it's probably
I wonder, are we gonna not be able to hear when we're 70?
Yes. Think about how quickly your phone tells you, hey, man, you're listening to this at too high of a... Does your phone tell you that?
My Apple Watch will tell me if I'm in an environment that's too loud.
No, so if I have on, headphones, and I'm, cleaning around the house or I'm doing outside...
Oh, but see, I don't wear headphones. We've talked about this. When I'm at home, it's just me. I don't need headphones. I'll just have the music play.
If I'm mowing the grass, I wear headphones. Or if I'm cleaning sometimes and the kids are watching stuff or making noise, I'll put on headphones. And my phone, it seems like after maybe a half an hour, it's hey, You can't keep listening to stuff this loud this long. It'll be bad.
Really?
Mine immediately warned me about that. So the fact that I'm doing this 20 hours a week,
I don't have it. I don't have it loud though. You know, I have to. You know, we joke with Cody all the time. I do have to sometimes ride the volume a little bit. Sometimes feel like Cody's going to cause me to lose my hearing earlier. Just Cody specifically. Yeah,
that's probably fair.
Yeah, but no, man. A lot of people saying they're going to enjoy today. Honestly, it's awesome. Awesome weather in Kansas City. We had a ton to get to throughout the show. We have Matt Verderam's going to join us in the noon hour today. He's going to check in from Indy. He's been out there getting the latest scoop on what some agents are saying about free agency. We'll, of course, talk Trey Smith with him. Josh Vernier's going to join us at 12:45. And then, yeah, Fan Club Friday. Ben Heisler, Benny Heiss, will talk all sorts of things with him. I'm sure he can relate to the kids stuff with you a little bit more, too. You'll have to bring Desmond scenario by him a little bit.
See what he would do, you know?
But up next, now that we know Travis Kelce, even on the New Heights promotional social channels, have basically confirmed he's coming back, what do we expect that to look like? And we'll talk some Royals baseball, specifically that outfield situation next.